most trusted and connected man in Utah.
Patrick Byrne from Overstock.com.
Thank you, Doug.
Doug Wright.
You know, there's a real libertarian streak at the heart of Utah. There's really a strong pro-freedom mentality.
The Doug Wright Show on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
And a good morning to you. Great to have you along here on the Doug Wright Show at KSL News Radio today. We're broadcasting from Rise Broadband down here in American Fork. We're going to be telling you about some great deals that they have for all of our Doug Wright Show KSL listeners. But boy, right off the bat today, we've got a jam-packed hour before the movie show, and let's get to it. Here are the big three issues that we will be laser-focused on, not only through the show, but of course through the day here at KSL. Let's start off. We're going to be talking a little later on. Paul Ryan now has made it official for Speaker of the House. Apparently, he has concessions or agreements with or pinky pledges from the Freedom Coalition, the Freedom Caucus, so the 40 that have caused considerable consternation, let's put it that way, within the Republican Party. We will talk about that coming up. Congressman Stewart will join us to give us his thoughts. He's in the House. And what about Paul Ryan? And will the troops really get behind him? Then we're also going to get Benghazi hearing reactions from a Utah colonel. I was reading this great story from several years back in the Deseret News. Utah Army Commander Lieutenant Colonel Andrew Wood sought more security before the deadly attack in Libya. I have his statement here. I don't have the questions and answers that the committee asked him, but some very, very interesting things in here. And one thing that really caught my attention was this statement right here. He said, "We need to be dedicated to understanding the problems that surround this attack in order to find a solution. Our failure to do so will result in repeated instances that allow our adversaries an advantage over us." One of the questions I'll have for Lieutenant Colonel Andrew Wood, retired now, will be, did yesterday's committee hearing accomplish that? And what does he think of not only the committee that he testified before, but everything that has unfolded since? And then, momentarily, we will be joined by Senator Orrin Hatch. I'm not sure if Senator Hatch is on the line yet with us, but I'm very interested to get his thoughts on what unfolded yesterday in the committee meeting. Plus, boy, I've got this story here. Obama, this is the headline from the Washington Post. Obama uses veto for only the fifth time, rejecting defense authorization bill. And we do have Senator Hatch joining us now. Senator, thank you for taking the time this morning.
Well, glad to do it. Glad to be with you.
Boy, there's so many things. I hardly know where to start, Senator. How about if we start with the Benghazi hearings yesterday? How did you feel about that way that unfolded? Did we learn anything? Did we make progress?
Well, the committee has been very successful. They're the ones that discovered the email misuse. And, of course, I'm pretty pleased with the committee's work. As Chairman Gowdy rightly argued, the committee's work has uncovered far more than we knew from previous investigations, and I think we've got to get to the bottom of it. I'm deeply troubled by the disconnect between what Hillary Clinton and the Obama administration told the public about Benghazi at the time, that it was a protest caused by a YouTube video, and the truth that this was a coordinated terrorist attack. And, you know, because of the committee's thorough work, we now know that Hillary privately acknowledged that this was an al-Qaeda-style attack the day after it took place. And yet she helped peddle the administration's public line that it was a protest for days to come over the YouTube video. So I'm kind of deeply disturbed that some in the media are going to great lengths to undermine Congress's legitimate constitutional role in oversight just to protect Hillary Clinton's political ambitions. And, you know, given her extensive efforts to hide her emails from the public and her constantly changing explanations for why, there's still a lot we don't know, and I urge the committee to keep up their good work. I think the committee accomplished quite a bit, really.
It was interesting. The New York Times and almost every editorial board that I've read this morning said that very, very little was actually discovered yesterday, and I hear exactly the opposite from the other side, Senator. And as you know, I'm not the biggest fan of Hillary Clinton, but we're also reading many, many stories that come from some fairly reputable sources that say, "Wow, this thing was you could tell within seconds of everybody's question whether they were Democrats or Republicans if you had just dropped in on the planet and were blindfolded."
Well, the Democrats tried to say the committee was on a wild goose chase, when in fact this committee has uncovered a number of things that would trouble anybody who's fair. And, you know, all I can say is, as you can see, the email thing alone, this administration went against General Petraeus, embarrassed him to death. He's now on probation because he had to plead guilty because he had given some classified information to his paramour over there in Afghanistan. What she's done is much worse. I mean, she was the Secretary of State, allowing a lot of this material to come through her personal emails, which undoubtedly were intercepted. I mean, we're living in a modern, high-tech world. She knows it. I know it. Everybody knows it. And yet they try to justify what went on there. But the one thing you cannot justify is that she portrayed this as basically nothing. But I thought Congressman Jordan's questions were pretty good. He established that she portrayed this as the video causing it, and did that for weeks, when she knew, really the next day, she mentioned to others that this was because of an al-Qaeda type attack. Now, you got to ask yourself, why would she do that? Why in the world would she lie about that? Why would the president lie about that when he knew otherwise too? If that's all that this committee uncovered, that's one thing. But they also are the committee that literally established that, you know, that she was not careful as Secretary of State with her emails.
Now, Senator,
I allow for a certain amount of mistakes, but my gosh, I mean, right. Here she is, Secretary of State, handling all kinds of classified materials and doing it on a private server that could be easily intercepted. I mean, that alone is a very, very condemnatory thing.
It is really quite amazing, you know, how many of us, even you know, in your situation, even in my situation, to do things that would be considered business, very, very sensitive things, secret might not be the word in my case, but things that are sensitive, back and forth, and, you know, with things on our editorial board, you know, many of us would not think of doing what seemed to be common practice with the secretary that now, of course, in hindsight, she is, although her tone has dramatically changed, as you pointed out. Senator, we've got such a short period with you, which we are so appreciative of. I wanted to get to this. I read the headline just as you were coming on the air with us. Obama uses veto for only fifth time rejecting defense authorization bill. Boy, many people are painting this as just a slap in the face to Republicans.
Oh, it's a slap in the face to the Air Force and to the military because, you know, McCain busted his pick to get that bill through. It's an authorization bill. It doesn't spend a dime. This is the first time in well over half a century, the first time period, where the president has vetoed an authorization bill. I mean, there's something wrong here. I don't fully understand it because, you know, those are hard to put together. But the appropriations committees do not have to go along with the authorization bill. The authorization bill is a study guide so that hopefully the appropriators will be able to follow it and say, yeah, this is right, and maybe we shouldn't do this. And it's almost as though this administration just wants to cause trouble. And frankly, that authorization bill was put together by both Republicans and Democrats. It covers very, very important issues, and a lot of effort went into that, and have it vetoed. To me, there's something really wrong here.
Senator, I know you have to walk into a meeting in just a matter of moments. Very quickly, criminal justice reform, how are we doing on that?
Well, you know, to be honest with you, I have a real difficult time with what they're doing in the Senate because they will not include within that bill a mens rea requirement. Now, to be honest with you, if you don't include mens rea, which says they would have to prove criminal intent, then they can indict anybody and convict anybody. And mens rea is an absolutely important thing in criminal law. And I'll tell you why the Democrats don't want to do that. They don't want to put a mens rea provision in, because they want to be able to indict these business people who, without any real evidence, and can just, even though they had no intention to do wrong whatsoever, but they had a downturn or they had something turn out not so well, and they want to be able to indict them. And frankly, to me, it was mind-boggling that they wouldn't accept my mens rea amendment. But not only that, they're going to let thousands of people get out of prison, under the guise that they're people who, you know, really have not used weapons and so forth. But they're also going to get put on the streets, a lot of drug pushers and others who fit that category. And in all honesty, I'm just worried about this country and our criminal laws. All I can say is that, you know, we're working on criminal justice reform. It addresses a few important issues, but it fails to address what I consider to be one of the greatest and most basic problems in our criminal justice system, and that's over-criminalization. That's why mens rea is so important. And mens rea says, before you can indict somebody and convict them, you got to show that they had criminal intent. And it seems to me that's a no-brainer. And I have real trouble with this particular bill. We have over 300,000 laws in this country in an 80,000-page code of federal regulations on criminal law. And many of these are laws that criminalize things that no reasonable person would know are illegal. I mean, for example, did you know it's a crime punishable by up to 6 months in prison to use the 4-H Club logo without authorization?
No.
Sure, a lot of people have done that. That they didn't do anything wrong. Or you can't walk a dog in a federal park area on a leash that's longer than 6 feet. I mean, my gosh. You know, criminal justice reform is a very, very important topic that shouldn't be rushed. And I find it difficult to support a bill that doesn't address the basic issue. People should not be locked up for crimes they don't know are wrong.
Boy, I'm going to go home and measure my leash for Dagmar. I'm worried now.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I'm proposing this criminal intent requirement to ensure that criminals aren't charged for laws any reasonable person wouldn't know exists, or regular citizens aren't charged for laws any reasonable person would not know exists. So I'm very concerned about it. I'm concerned about unleashing thousands of criminals onto the public. I do have some empathy for some of these folks who weren't violent but did get caught up in using drugs and so forth. There are some injustices there, and I would work very hard to try and solve those. But what they're doing with this bill, even though it's bipartisan, is ignoring one of the principal basic things in the law, mens rea, or the obligation to prove criminal intent, in order to put through a bill that basically will free an awful lot of people, some of whom are very, very definitely people you would not want on the streets.
Senator, I so appreciate you joining us. I hope I haven't made you late for your meeting.
Yeah, I'd always try to be with you if I can.
Hey, thank you. Senator Orrin Hatch with us this morning here at KSL News Radio. Still to come, we'll be talking with Congressman Chris Stewart, and we'll also be talking with Colonel Andrew Wood, retired. He was commander for site security team in Benghazi. We'll get his take on what has been unfolding. And plus, we broadcast today from Rise Broadband. Let's take a brief break. We'll be right back.